Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for Thursday, September the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our two of two, and our goal always, steady as a rock for over 25 years. Our goal is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, and bring to you news the networks refuse to use and stand tall for the sacred cause of liberty. We promote the Savior Jesus Christ, the author of our liberty. Kirk Crosby, I got an email from the 10th Amendment Center. They say, hey, man, this is the shortest email we've ever sent. They say, happy Constitution Day. And here's the irony. Kurt, listen to this. And here's the irony. Today is the day that the largest government in the history of the world unconstitutionally mandates that schools unconstitutionally funded by the unconstitutional Department of Federal Education unconstitutionally teaches kids about constitutional limits on federal power. So rather than focus on September 17th for us, Constitution Day is every day of the year. We're rolling up our sleeves every single day to teach people about the founders' Constitution and the checks and balances required to enforce it. Thank you so much for being here with us. Anyway, pretty good email from all the folks at the 10th Amendment Center. Constitution Day should be every day of the year. And I think they got a wise point, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more, Sam. Yeah, great point.
Anyway, I'm going to really kind of talk about this a little bit more because I think Constitution Day should be every day of the year. I mean, it's kind of sad to even have a Constitution Day. Don't get me wrong, it's a wonderful day to acknowledge and to remember and to highlight and to focus on and the wonderful blessings that the Constitution brings, Kurt. But I kind of think if you have a Constitution Day, it's like, I don't know, do we not focus on it except for when it's Constitution Day? You know? Does that mean we just kind of don't really care about the Constitution except on the one day we just celebrate and whatever? I guess there's a little bit of a disconnect in my mind if we celebrate Constitution Day every day of the year when we need a Constitution Day. And it's an interesting question from the 10th Amendment Center, but I kind of think both is true. We ought to highlight the day and have great remembrance and gratitude and appreciation and a focus on that day to keep it in remembrance. But I also think that we really need to double down on the Constitution as one of the great solutions. That's what this radio program is about literally almost every day of the year. I say almost because we take a break on the Sabbath and once in a while we're out of town or whatever. But, man, for us, Constitution Day is every day of the year too, isn't it, Kurt?
Yep. Great point, Sam.
Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention because I thought that was kind of relevant. All right, Kurt wants to talk about massive clouds of mosquitoes. Kurt, this is your stories from the 9th. Massive clouds of mosquitoes. They're like murderous mosquitoes, too, aren't they, Kurt?
Well, Sam, you know, you look at this and you think, at least I do, I think of basically the plagues and in modern society, you know, you think, wow, maybe just a little bit more of that. I mean, when you read in Scripture about Moses' time and they had the frogs and the boils and all the different things, you know, now they got massive clouds of mosquitoes. I mean, think about that. It's just pretty amazing, don't you think? You
know? What's this USA Today the story comes from? It says swarms of mosquitoes have literally killed horses, and other livestock down there in Louisiana, Kurt. After rain from Hurricane Laurel, I guess it is, right? led to an explosion in the pest's population. Massive clouds of mosquitoes kill cows in Louisiana after Hurricane Laura. It's kind of a scary thing, Kurt.
Well, I think so. I mean, and you can see how, I mean, you just get an animal just gets covered by mosquitoes and they just suck the blood out of them. I mean, it's just, I mean, yeah, when things go wrong, you know, things could be pretty rough, Sam, and that's a great example of it, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of a redneck, though, Kurt. I look at things like this, and it reminds me of the scriptures where it just says you're going to have plagues and natural and man-made disasters, and I just kind of think about this and think, man, is it really, like, normal for mosquitoes just to go crazy and just, like, kill all these animals? And I mean, there's so many of them, and they're so, I don't know what to say, but alive and powerful. You know, swarms of mosquitoes, swarms of ants. We hear about
it
these killer bees and killer insects. And these are the sign of the times, in my opinion, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and there's a, oh, I can't remember where I saw this story or read about it or heard it, but it was just recent days. They're talking about how some government officials were going to release some different types of mosquitoes that would, well, the goal, of course, they said, was make it so that the other ones wouldn't survive. So they had some manipulated kind of mosquito, and it was going to make it so that if they reproduced, then the babies wouldn't survive or something like that, you know, Sam. And, of course, I mean, we've never seen, you know, out of control things like this go awry. I mean, it's always, you know, a great solution, right?
Well, there's a headline that, to make your point, Kurt, that says fact check. EPA clears genetically modified mosquitoes. It's USA Today, Kurt. Now, what do you think of this?
Yeah, I think that's the story I'm talking about. So, I mean, imagine you're pals at the Environmental Protection Association, or agency, I should say, are saying, hey, man, we got some, you know, genetically modified mosquitoes, and it'll be the fix to every problem you got with mosquitoes. I mean, you going to go for that, Sam?
No. I think I'm going to, what's the word, abstain? The right. Environmental Protection Agency, Kurt. Approved an experimental use permit on May 1st that allows Oxitec, I think that's the company's name, to release genetically modified mosquitoes in the Florida Keys, Kurt, and in Harris County, Texas. Now, are you fine with these things, Kurt?
Nope. And I'll have, since it is Constitution Day, I'll highlight the fact that you're going to have a real tough time finding the Environmental Protection Agency in the Constitution. I mean, you're going to have to really read between the lines, if you will, and maybe scribble in some extra words there, if you ask me. That just, it's just not there, Sam.
I look at this and I go, wait a minute. The EPA, Kurt, literally received a permit. And then they approved, I guess, an experimental use permit to release these mosquitoes. Kurt, I'm not comfortable with this. They say it relates to West Nile virus and everything else. And where's this going to go, Kurt? I mean, where's the end for this thing? They say the goal is to meet today's public health challenges head on, Kurt.
Yep.
The nation needs to facilitate innovation, and they need to work on the science and new tools to better help and protect the health of all Americans. According to the EPA's news release, Kurt, I don't really know how to respond to this. And don't worry, though. It's only for 2 years, Kurt, and it requires Oxitec to monitor and sample the mosquito population weekly, buddy. EPA has also maintained the right to cancel the permit at any point during the 24-month period. And you want to know why, Kurt?
Sure.
In case unforeseen outcomes occur.
Yeah.
Think there's going to be some unforeseen outcomes on this one, Kurt?
Yeah.
People are saying, wait, why would a company create a new kind of mosquito? What purpose would it serve?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they said that it could drastically reduce the spread of all kinds of viruses, Kurt.
Yep.
Anyway, I look at this thing and I go, what are we doing, Kurt? Mm-hmm. You think it's smart to go ahead and do these genetically modified mosquitoes, Kurt? Those are the ones that are going to basically put their little, you know, sucker in you and then suck your blood and then spread it around, right? And we're saying we're going to do this for the safety of people? And an unconstitutional government agency is going to give, quote, experimental capabilities to this thing? Are they directly experimenting on the people with this, Kurt? They would say no. I would say yes. EPA clears genetically modified mosquitoes. Wow. Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. This is insanity.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, Kurt's got an update. COVID in the classroom. Now that they've been back in session in the government schools, Kurt, for quite a while here now, there's kind of an update on how well they're faring, Kurt.
Well, this is written by Star Parker, one of our favorite authors. She's a black lady that is a conservative, which, you know, at least in the media, you don't find too many of those that get talked about. In fact, she rarely gets spoken of in the standard media, and yet she points out that they've got people that are concerned about the whole government school things. A big bunch of them are what you would call minority people, Sam. you know, said that, you know, they're quite concerned that there's, you know, tough times out there and that they don't get treated right. You know, going along with this, I saw a recent story where it says, at least a little bit more recent, CNS News says D.C. public schools spend $30,000 per student. Only 23% of eighth graders proficient in reading. You know, and so you have this massive situation where, you know, people are starting to look and say, are we getting our money's worth? She says, you know, her headline is Open Schools This Fall. You know, I mean, we just like we've talked about, we would, of course, hope for any improvement there, but we'd like to, in the effort to make America great again, you know, eliminate the things that shouldn't be there. It seemed like Education Secretary Betsy DeVos has, you know, understood that. For example, you know, she's quoted in Star Parker's article, and, you know, these are people that the National Education Association just, you know, completely oppose. So you've got those people on the two sides, and, you know, Star Parker basically says, no surprise, the NEA's priority has never been educating children. Its priority is protecting its members, teachers. Teachers get paid whether schools are open or not. What do leaders of teachers' unions care about? The hard work needed to create a safe environment now so children can be physically present in school, the only real viable option for learning? They don't care, she says.
Why should they care? It's all about a cash cow and a union. You get yourself teacher, what's that called, tenure? Where you basically just get to be there forever. And unless you do something like super criminal. You're there forever, Kurt. You don't have to really be a good teacher. You don't have to be accountable. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to be you just got these special, you know, kind of privileges or whatever. And so, no offense, why do they care about the student, Kurt?
Well, that's exactly right.
I mean, we're not trying to find teachers that really care, and that's why they're there, necessarily.
That's a good point.
Anyway, Star Parker's spot on. She's right as rain. I'd like to get Star Parker on the radio with us. I'd also like to get Candace Owens on the radio with us. But, man, I reach out to them, and they're hard to get a hold of.
Yes, sir.
You know, no matter how hard I try to work with some of these people and help them and promote them. For example, this Lauren Boebert lady, a nice lady running for office in Colorado. You know, she's the one in Rifle, Colorado that has the shooter's grill or whatever. I emailed them, and they wrote back and said, oh, we're just focusing on our local town here. Maybe we can talk in 30 days.
Uh-huh.
Kurt, in 30 days, what, will the election be right on us?
Well, yeah.
I mean, the next statement she'll say is, well, we're right by the election. We're so busy right now, we can't handle it. Maybe after the election. Well, then our ability to even help or do anything for them and promote the cause and is zero. Then what if she loses? Then it's like, oh, what's the point of an interview? If she wins, it's like, oh, now we're congressmen. We're too busy.
Great point, Sam. Well, you know, all we can do is all we can do. You know, that's... we know that's it, pretty much. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's amazing to me to see the different things. You know, I guess you could say, on the one hand, you might say disaster from sea to shining sea. On the other hand, you know, hopeful situations. I see, you know, when I'm selling honey and I talk to people, like last night I talked to this couple that moved here to Utah from Montana, Sam. And so this is not the typical ones like moving from California, the big cities, you know, and the overregulation. Although I think Montana's got some, I'm sure they've got some out of control bureaucrats. But one of the things they suggested is, because I commented that every so often I feel kind of like moving from here to place like Montana, they said, well, what you want to do is make sure you go there when it's really cold, and that'll get you the picture of why you don't want to be in Montana. But you know, in fact, they moved here just real close to where we live, and he did comment that kind of he wished he didn't have such a big mortgage, you know. But I suggest to folks do some social distancing, head out to smaller places, to smaller towns, and realize that, hey, just because you don't have a Costco or a Walmart right next to you, you still be able to survive. You might even, I guess you could say, go back in time and maybe you'd garden and you'd, you know, can and put some things up and get in touch with the earth. You might have a chicken or two, and your neighbors might not be so close that they'd hear every chicken squawk every morning. They could, you know, come and borrow some, get some eggs, and you could take them. They could bring you over some zucchini or whatever, and, you know, you could look for a kinder, gentler life, you know. But there's a lot of, you know, I think ways to make life a little better in these days. So, you know, you've got those two pictures we were talking about earlier, the changes we're seeing in society because of, you know, you could say the corona, but I would say especially out of control governments, they're encouraging people to do more, quote, social distancing. And that is simply by, you know, heading to places like South Dakota where they got more freedom, or, you know, encouraging your local officials to, you know, let a little more freedom go on there. Apparently, they've even had some folks walking through Target without a mask on, Sam. I mean, you know, that's definitely a problem. I mean, imagine,
what do you mean?
People walking through there.
Why is that a problem? It's fantastic.
Well, I'm just saying that.
Kurt, let me tell you some
you.
Headlines that kind of highlight the point that I'm making. So I've maintained credibility this whole time. I've told people that vitamin C, vitamin D, good clean water, nutrition, plenty of sleep, plenty of rest, plenty of outdoors and sunlight. That's going to make some of the biggest difference. I've mentioned that certainly there's people that are vulnerable among us that we should try to be cognizant about and protect. But for the most part, the sooner we all get it and develop herd immunity, natural herd immunity, the better. And what we need to do is do all the things that we can do naturally and God-given to nurture our immune systems and you know, prevent underlying conditions and everything else. Well, now there's two headlines that highlight your point. Turns out that the headline says CDC failures as virus spreads. It's a massive attack on the CDC from the liberals in USA Today and other rags now. Now, I'm not here to defend the unconstitutional CDC, Kurt. But I am here to say what they're trying to do is say Trump's CDC. But then the next headline from the CDC says this. Blacks and Hispanics have higher death rates. USA Today. So wait a minute. We got the CDC failures on one hand that they're going to highlight, no trash. Then at the other hand, they're going to basically say, well, the CDC is saying that blacks and Hispanics are getting beat up by the corona more than anybody else. Well, if with all the failures, can we even trust anything coming out of the CDC? No,
well, I don't think.
Well, if
so,
we can't trust anything coming out of the CDC, then, Curtin, it's unconstitutional. Why don't we just shut that sucker down? So if I was Donald Trump, I would say, liberals, you guys are absolutely right. The CDC, we spend $7 billion on that thing, gone. You want to save money? You want to go ahead and back off on unconstitutional government? You want to go ahead and attack the CDC? By all means, we just shut it down. That's my advice to President Trump. And that's my advice. Now, I don't know if Hispanics and black people are suffering more from the corona or not, Kurt. But if so, then my next question would be why? Is it because of the pigmentation in their skin, their race? Is it something in their, quote, DNA makeup that makes them more vulnerable to this? Well, if this Chinese person, this Chinese doctor, this virologist or whatever is correct, then I would say if it was man-made, was it intended to attack those groups more, Kurt? Was it specifically man-made and manipulated and genetically modified like the mosquitoes or something to go ahead and attack those people more? Did racists create the coronavirus? Otherwise, if there's underlying conditions and there's no sinister plot of conspiracy, what might we do to help with the underlying conditions? Huh?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Weekly jobless claims now below a million for the third week in a row, as Labor Department figures just released show 860,000 Americans filed first-time claims for jobless benefits last week. That's 33,000 fewer than the previous week's total, which was revised up to 893,000. Economist Joel Naroff says it's somewhat good news.
New claims for unemployment insurance eased again last week, but they remain well above 800,000. That is still an extraordinarily high number and indicates that another 3 million or more employees could lose their jobs this month.
The southeastern U.S. still getting dumped on with rain from what was Hurricane Sally, and already forecasters say there's a 70% chance that another system in the Gulf could become a tropical depression by this weekend. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you interested in making $10, $20, even $40,000 a month flipping houses? Then listen to this exciting opportunity. Jeremy Isles and Tony Rosenblum, founders of High Impact Outcomes, are ready to show you how they have helped first-time investors flip hundreds of houses in 39 states for substantial profits. What's their secret, you ask? Just text HURRY to 72000 right now, and they'll send you a free copy of their 40K Formula Flip Kit. See how using their innovative strategies with the right internet search tools can help you create off-market deals that realtors and other investors don't even know existed. Text HURRY to 72000 now to get your free 40K Formula Flip Kit and get ready to see how fast you can receive your first or next real estate paycheck. Text HURRY to 72000 right now to get your 40K Formula Flip Kit, plus free tickets to a live interactive online training class. Text HURRY to 72000. That's text HURRY to 72000 for your free 40K Flip Kit now. They can't wait to see you there. Individual results may vary.
To COVID-19.
He just made a mistake. I think he misunderstood the question, probably.
That's President Trump on the CDC director Robert Redfield telling a congressional hearing yesterday that a vaccine probably won't be available until sometime in the middle of next year.
When he said it, I believe he was confused. I'm just telling you, we're ready to go as soon as the vaccine happens.
The president says he believes a vaccine will be authorized soon and made available to the general public very quickly. For the first time ever, the most coveted award in country music is going to not one, but to two musicians. Carrie Underwood and Thomas Rhett were both named Entertainer of the Year at last night's ACM Awards, which were held largely virtually, originating from the Grand Ole Opry House. Carrie Underwood had won the award twice in the past, 2009 and 2010. It was the first such win for Rhett. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, I'm for shutting down the unconstitutional CDC. If the CDC's failures as the virus spreads, and if the CDC is saying black and Hispanics have higher rates of, what do you call it, corona attacks, death rates because of the coronavirus, then look, are they racist over at the CDC? If this virus was man-made, we're shutting down this doctor, this Chinese doctor on Twitter. Can't talk about it. But wait a minute, if the virus was man-made and it attacks blacks and Hispanics more than whites, is it a racial, man-made COVID virus? If it's not, if there's no conspiracy or sinister agenda there with genetically modified whatevers, mosquitoes on to coronaviruses, right? If it's not a sinister conspiracy or a racist agenda, but why is it affecting Hispanics and blacks more? Do they have the DNA makeup that it attacks? Did God do that? Did man do that? A greater question, if there are underlying conditions that are causing it that are more often found in blacks and Hispanics and everything else, what can we do about that? Maybe less drugs? Maybe better neighborhoods? Maybe fathers at home caring for and watching their children? Maybe less junk food? Maybe, okay, these are all within the control of the individuals and the families, Kurt. We don't need government to take the lead. We need government to play a support role. First way they can play a support role is quit funding mama and kicking out dad. Educate, as Ben Carson is doing, to say, listen, you can't run around and claim you're a victim. You got to do something about it, families. But is that racist for me to say? Can I say that, or am I just like a bad guy? See, But I say shut down the CDC. If they've got all kinds of failures and they're making these claims, are their claims true? Can we even trust their claims about the blacks and the Hispanics? Or is the CDC just gone rogue and racist, Kurt? All right, I digress. Rush Limbaugh now says we love David Horowitz. Book predicts Donald Trump landslide, Kurt. Do you love David Horowitz, Kurt?
Well, I wouldn't really be able to tell you much about him. I think I've heard his name several times. And if I remember right, this is the guy that used to be the socialist, communist kind of big shot. And then he's come around from there. Is that the same guy?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, I appreciate that he's changed from a communist to a freedom lover. And I hope his change is truly genuine and honorable. And I'm grateful for that. I mean, if he really has seen the light and come to the truth, wonderful. But I'm not going to be the guy running around going, I love Horowitz. But I sure hope Horowitz is right, that there is a landslide for President Donald Trump, Kurt. And so it's interesting. I wouldn't run around and say, I love David Horowitz, though. I'd say, hey, good on him for changing and knowing the truth. Good for people who don't know about God and Christ to eventually come to the knowledge of the truth on that. Good for people who are liberals that decide to become conservatives. Good for people who, don't believe in the principles that make America great to change and believe in them. I think that's all wonderful, but I'm not here to just promote David Horowitz or Rush Limbaugh or any man. The one I want to promote, Kurt, is Jesus Christ. But I don't want to run around and love Horowitz, but then trash George Washington. Next headline Kurt has says, if Confederate generals were traitors, then so was George Washington. An incredible history lesson from Walter E. Williams, Kurt.
Well, there's another guy, going along with Star Parker, another of our, the people from, I guess you could say, black Americans. I just call them Americans. Another good American.
So you believe in Floyd Marcus's view of unhyphenated Americans, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's just so many good ones. Ben Carson, and go on down the list. David A. Clark. But here's Walter E. Williams basically saying, if Confederate generals were traitors, so was George Washington. Walter E. Williams educates readers about the historical state's right of secession, Sam.
Well, he's correct. And his point is not that George Washington's a traitor. His point is you got to look at history in its real, honorable context. And he's spot on right, Kurt.
Yes, you're exactly
okay, what
right.
He's talking about is, hey, states do have the right of secession. The founding fathers certainly had some things wrong. They weren't perfect. But remember, they were born into a die-cast societal system of slavery. Let's don't act like that there was no slaves and all of a sudden the founding fathers went on this bender to create a slave state or whatever. They were born into this system. Is it right? Of course not. I'm not defending it. I'm just a little bit defending what if you were born in the middle of that in your life. You know, you might have been a secessionist. You might have been for getting rid of slavery. You might have been whatever. What do they call those people that were against slaves? What was it called? Kurt?
Abolitionist.
Abolitionist, not a secessionist, yeah. An abolitionist, you might have been one of those, and that would be great in your day. And that would be to your credit. Many of the founding fathers were abolitionists in their hearts. Proof of that is sometimes when they would, die on their deathbed, they would free their slaves and stuff, and you'd say, well, on their deathbed. They were afraid of being killed if they didn't do that, Kurt. It was a very tough environment. I'm not defending the environment, but I am defending the circumstantial reality they had to live in and deal with, Kurt.
Very good point, Sam. Yeah. And when you look at this Walter Williams piece talking about, he gives you, I mean, if you just want to read this or study it up, he gives you a great history lesson, tells you about how he says, let's start at the beginning, namely the American War of Independence. He puts 1775 to 1783, a war between Great Britain and its 13 colonies, which declared independence in July 1776. Then he tells you about the peace agreement and Ben Franklin and different people there. And, here's a man who has studied it up and understands the beauties of America and for example, on the part about the secession that he talks about, He says, most Americans do not know the first secessionist movement started in New England, you know, because he's bringing up the idea of, at least earlier in his article, he talks about the Civil War and the whole South wanting to secede from the Union, you know. And, you know, like I didn't know that the first secessionist movement started in New England. He says, many New Englanders were infuriated by President Thomas Jefferson's Louisiana Purchase in 1803, which they saw as an unconstitutional act. Timothy Pickering of Massachusetts, who was George Washington's Secretary of War and Secretary of State, led the movement. He said the eastern states must and will dissolve the Union and form a separate government. I mean, did you ever learn about this before, Sam? I had not heard about this. But, you know, that's what happens when you read and study
history. Hey, man, history. I grew up in government school. I knew nothing about it until I had to kind of strike out and unlearn all the propaganda that I learned and work on kind of reconstructing reality and, you know, had to good work point. At it, buddy. Greg from Utah wants to chime in. Hi, Greg.
Yeah, Sam, Kurt's comments are spot on. But anyway, the founders inherited the institution of slavery from the British. And they did everything within their power to abolish it, to eradicate it. And there's a clause in the Constitution that says slaves cannot be imported into the United States after 1820. At the Philadelphia Convention, the founding fathers attempted to abolish slavery, but the southern states balked. So there were efforts to abolish slavery, and again, the founding fathers inherited that system from the British, and they realized it was morally wrong, and they tried to do their best. I mean, you can't change it overnight. It takes years and years, as we know. So, I mean, to disparage the founders is wrong. They were highly respected men, men of God, very wise in their efforts and what have you, but anyway... like I said, to disparage the founding fathers is
Walter E. Williams. Really, Walter E. Williams, a black gentleman, is the one making these points. Kurt and I are talking about this story. We agree with Walter on this, Greg, that the founding fathers were honorable people. The manipulated history from the extremists needs to be jettisoned, and that's why Walter E. Williams takes the time, ladies and gentlemen, to really teach people about the historical rights to secession and abolition and all these things. I think Walter's pointing it out. He's saying, you know, if Confederate generals are, so was George Washington, none of them are evil, folks. It's a matter of, hey, they did the best they could circumstantially. I was the one that brought up the idea that they're all born into this caste system of slavery, and many of them worked their whole lives to jettison those things. And so, you know, we want to judge the viewpoints and understanding and efforts of those who lived yesteryear by today's circumstantial reality and standards. And it's not an honest or fair thing to do at all. I'll give you a quick example. Back in the day, a lot of these people married their cousins. And at first you go, what was that back then? That was weird. Well, in today's society, when we can travel all over and meet people over the internet and we travel all over the country and all over the world, it's easy to not marry your cousin. But back in the day when you couldn't travel and that's all you knew and the families next door were, you know, 20 miles away or 10 miles away and they were abusive to their kids, you're like, well, not marrying into that. What choices did they have? So, you know, you got to look at it in context, in my opinion. Do you have more, Greg?
Yeah, so the Civil War...
Hold on, we got a break. Do you have more, Greg?
Yes, I do.
All right, hang tight. Stay there, sir. Quick pause. We'll go right back to Greg in a second.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
I'm merely pointing out that I think we need to be fair and open and honest about the context in which the circumstances in which people live. We can't just take history out of context and treat people or, attack people or focus on people based on our modern understanding and circumstances. Things were different there. Their understanding was different. They did the best they could. And, you know, I'm not really here to trash people who can't defend themselves, right? I'm more in favor of a guy named Patrick Henry than I am than I am some of the other founding fathers. But that's just my opinion. I study history and do the best that I can. But we need to be very careful when we take things out of context against the broader story or the broader discussion. You know, if we believe in the mainstream press view, hey, all the founders were a bunch of slave owner perverts and they were good for nothing. Yeah, that's not a true representation of reality. And we got to stand up against it, as Greg wisely points out on Constitution Day. Greg?
Yeah, so most people are not aware that the Civil War was not fought over slavery, but state rights and state sovereignty. And just to make another comment, just to address it.
And by the way, that's why Walter E. Williams, hold on really quick, Greg. That's why Walter E. Williams ties secession directly into that discussion for that very purpose.
Yeah, so one thing that bothers me is people who wear masks. Wearing a mask is a symbol of oppression. And people wear these masks, and it just blows my mind. I mean, a mask is not going to protect you from the virus. And because the particles are so minute and so small, they will penetrate just about any mask. And the best way to protect yourself from the virus is to wash your hands. Because when you touch things and you touch your mouth or you rub your eyes, that's how you're going to contract the virus. And that's a better way. But people are wearing the mask. I've been walking into Macy's. And also into Walmart without a mask. No one has said anything. There's only like one or two people when I go in there who do not have masks on. So, I mean, we have to start resisting and rebelling against this oppression. It's unbelievable what's happening. And so if they're conditioned to wear a mask, they'll be conditioned to take a vaccine for the virus. And it may be mandated, and people may be inclined to take the vaccine or, you know, have the vaccine, but this is all about tyranny. It has nothing to do about nothing to do about safety or health. It's about subduing the population into accepting government edicts and mandates. And it's tyranny in its purest form, and there has to be resistance to it. I wish more people would rebel against it. But they had these gatherings in where I live. There were a couple thousand people. They were not wearing masks. And so there is resistance. People are beginning to wake up, and we have to call it what it is. It's a symbol of oppression.
You want to respond, Kurt?
Well, the one thing I would tell you is there's some nice workarounds, at least when it comes to the whole mask thing. Like, for example, some of the only two farmers markets that I'm allowed to participate in, tell us that the vendors must wear a mask, you know, that kind of thing. I use what's called a face shield, and you can breathe a lot better in that, and it seems like most people let you get by with that. Then there's this one new kind of thing that I just got a little a couple of days ago that you put underneath a mask and it kind of lifts it out so it doesn't make it touch your face and you can breathe much better on that. And then the other little key thing is, you know how it's always okay if you want to drink or eat, you can take your mask off. So I suggest to folks to constantly be eating or drinking something, you know, have something with you, and just, you know, if somebody asks you, just say, well, I'm eating now. So there's some ways around that, and hopefully we'll see more and more freedom break out and less masks.
Yeah, there's a problem with Kurt's idea of wearing shields, though. How are you going to get everybody sick if they can breathe, Kurt?
That's a great point, Sam. Maybe Greg has a solution there.
Yeah, their goal is to get everybody sick. What Kurt's doing, how are you going to keep everybody sick, Greg?
I know. Well, I mean, the government's not concerned about people who contract the virus or how many people die. The issue is they want to be able to manipulate and control the people. That's all they're concerned about. And to have, and initially when this thing broke out, the people in the nursing homes were dying. They were not protected properly. And so there was no care for the elderly and the consequences that resulted from it. But the government is never, how can I say that? They're not concerned about the welfare of the people. All they want to do is control and manipulate the population. And for the most part, the population has subscribed to it. And it just bothers me when you see people driving in a car alone with a mask on. I mean, it's just like, I'm just baffled by it. They can't be that stupid. But again, I mean, things indicate that they are. And so hopefully things will change, things will get better, and people will start resisting this oppression and this tyranny. And I'm just annoyed with it. And when I walk into a restaurant or into a supermarket or what have you, 99% of the people wearing masks. And I'm saying to myself, what are you doing? I mean, why not? I mean, it's not going to help you. It's not going to protect you from the virus. And yet they're subjected to this kind of tyranny. And they're in compliance with it, and I think they enjoy what they're doing. They think they're patriotic by wearing these masks. It's a symbol of oppression, and we have to call it what it is. And I think there has to be more resistance against it, and more people speaking out against it. And again, several weeks ago, there was a rally nearby where I live. There was 2,000 people, and not one person was wearing a mask. So it shows you how ridiculous this thing is, and people are getting upset. And I just feel that the government has to back off and let the people live and let them decide how they want to live their lives. I don't want the government to regulate my breathing. When I wear a mask, I can't breathe effectively. So the government's going to regulate my breathing? Really? It's crazy. It's nonsense. And I just wanted to bring that to light.
So, question, do you think that Donald Trump will win in a landslide?
Well, I'm hearing that. I mean, sheesh. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, if he lost, because I feel the elections could be rigged, and as happened in the past, there's been evidence of that and documentation to establish that. But I feel that they could rig it in Biden's favor. But I hope that I can't say I hope, but he should win. But you never know. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't trust the government, and I feel that they could manipulate the elections, but some people claim or say that he's going to win in a landslide, so we'll have to see what happens. I know when Reagan ran against Carter, the experts were saying it's too close to call. The election is too close to call, and Reagan won in a landslide. So we just don't know. It's hard to predict. I hate making predictions, but based on what I'm hearing, people expect him to win in a landslide. So we'll see how it turns out. But I just can't. I'm not going to make that claim because I'm not certain of it.
All right, there you have it.
Well, Kurt. Sam, I'll throw a couple of things in on this question. Here's one headline from Breitbart. Man installs electric fence to guard Trump 2020 sign. I've never seen it in this case. We've seen elections in the past where somebody put up a sign, somebody'd steal it, or they'd mark it up or tear it down or something like that. But, I mean, you got people that are, they're going kind of crazy on this, if you ask me. You got another one that says, Delaware State Police searching for suspects who threw raw eggs at children, adults attending a Republican rally in Wilmington. So why would people, show up to a thing like this when they think, man, somebody's going to throw raw eggs at me. They might be hitting me. They might be beating me up afterwards on the way home. I mean, you know, that's going to kind of affect the polls and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's going to make those people even more willing to get out there and vote and try to call a halt to this crazy stuff that's going on. Don't you think, Greg?
Yeah, I think you make a good point, because there's a lot of, how can I put it, people who are for Trump, they're being criticized, you know, by the media and then how you described it, you know, in other situations that people, the eggs are being thrown at people who support, you know, the, you know, Republican principles or support the president. And there's a lot of this going on, so it may galvanize the people to get together and vote for Trump. I mean, there's so much opposition to Trump. Every time you anytime you get on the radio or watch TV or watch the news, it's always anti-Trump. They always have anti-Trump segments on TV or the radio and what have you. So it's continuous, and I think people are getting sick and tired of it. And frankly, I am. I'm tired of the attacks on Trump.
Are you voting for Trump?
I think people are waking up to it. Am I voting for Trump? No comment.
Who are you voting for? Will you make a comment on that?
I feel that he's in favor of, he voted for the USMCA. He's in favor of that, and that raises a red flag for me. Also, in this state, he was in favor of the red flag law. I mean, not in the state, but nationwide, the red flag law. And concerning people who have guns and they may pose a threat of this, so they can, the authorities can go there and confiscate their guns without due process of law. And then I heard, and I can't verify this, that he's in favor of a mandatory vaccine. So I like a lot of things that he does. Don't get me wrong, but some things I question, and so I have to be, you know, careful in my opinion concerning whether or not I would vote for him. But I like a lot of things that he does. I'm in favor of and I support. But some things that he does, I have grave concerns. So that's where I stand on Trump.
Yeah, I understand your concerns, and I would agree completely. And normally, when there's a third party viable candidate to vote for, then I vote the third party because I believe I can vote my conscience and vote for an honorable man. But in this case, there's not even a good third party person to vote for, Greg.
Yeah, I know, and so. That's the problem, but I don't believe in the, I don't subscribe to the philosophy to vote for the lesser of the evils. So
no, but here's the question: if there's not a third person to vote for, so there's two choices, or the only third choice then would be not to vote at all, and I guess it's not voting evil.
Well, you have I'm sure there'll be candidates on the Constitution Party ticket, and then maybe Libertarian or what have you.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure they're any better than Trump though.
Well, they may not be. So, I mean, if you vote for someone who's evil, you could be held accountable for that.
Yes, but if you don't vote at all, Greg, is that evil?
Yeah.
So I think not voting at all when your duty is to vote is evil, too.
Well, I mean, you have a duty. I mean, I don't know if you have a duty to vote, but if you don't have any viable candidates or candidates who are strictly constitutionalist,
then you got to vote for the best one or run yourself.
Well, I mean, so sometimes candidates who run for office, whether it be on the Republican ticket or the Democratic ticket, most of them are incompetent by constitutional standards, so I wouldn't vote for either. But, I mean, that's my philosophy.
If you don't vote, I'm afraid that's worse. And if you vote for a third-party candidate that has no chance and they're just as bad as the guy that... Yeah. Well, if you're not careful, you'll get Joe Biden in there, too, now. So, anyway, it's a great debate for another day, I guess. We're out of time, Greg.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, sir.
See you later.
By all means, it's a great debate, Kurt. I'm not telling you I know everything about it. I'm just saying it's a tough battle, a tough thing to figure out for everybody, isn't it?
Amen to that, Sam. Hey, go and make America great again, Greg and me.
Amen. God save the Republic of the United States of America.